Stuart Dew, Gold Coast Suns coach, being good enough to jump on the line. Welcome to you, Stuart. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Dwayne.
How many philosophical arguments have you been caught up with in the last 2 months when there's no actual football to talk about?
Yeah, there's a lot of open-ended conversations that go nowhere. So some good time fillers, but yeah, we've analysed and theorised and discussed, and then we just wait for the facts and get on with it.
Do you really think that things are going to be... I see in the NRL season that there's been some little bit of weird stuff happen since they've resumed. Even the 59-0 drubbing last night was a little weird. Do you see this? I don't know, we've talked about it before, but it seems to me as if everyone's really is starting a whole new season on equal footing, and we're going to see whatever you're made of based on what you've done in the last 2 months, in essence.
Yeah, and I think it'll take, I mean, like a normal season where I was really careful to judge ourselves and others within sort of the first 3 or 4 weeks. So given what the players have gone through and how it's looked and the uncertainty, I think it'll take a little while to settle in and get a real form line. So always reluctant to, I guess, certainly judge opposition based on one performance or two or three. And as you say, on the back of what's happened and what we see and know already, it's different, it's unusual, and it will take a little while to get a real form line on ourselves and others.
You got a little bit of a smacking in round one as well, and there you've got arguably the premiership favourite you're facing in your next game.
Yeah, and it was disappointing. And, you know, there was a period there, I think we got it back to 15 points in the third quarter. But to be honest, we weren't happy with the way we were playing at all. So, you know, the way we look at it, the fact that we were poor and able to be in touch in the third quarter, you know, it's a bit of a false positive for us. And we didn't finish the game off, of course, but we certainly think we'll compete a lot better, and our senior players are ready to go, and it's had to sit there for a long time, and I think they'll be highly motivated.
Does that mean you've overanalyzed it? Because normally you'd analyze it after the loss and say, well, we've got a team to plan for this week, so let's not spend too much time on that. But has it actually had more weight for you, that round one performance, looking forward?
No, I think because of the situation, I guess, leading into the game and then how quickly it was shut down after.
Yeah.
We actually took a breath and left it for a couple of weeks and then, you know, re-engaged the players after that. But we were keen to not sweep it under the carpet, but also not dwell on it. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's some guys there that, you know, I think we're really, really disappointed. We're trying to get them to make sure that they didn't carry that for sort of 8 or 9 weeks. But we also wanted to acknowledge that wasn't really how we'd played, and how we played the first two Marsh games was a lot different. And we wanted to make sure that they're well aware of where they're going and the strengths, but also some requirements of AFL footy. And we can't give an experienced side like Port Adelaide a head start like we did.
So the balance is interesting because you've got these home games, you've got hubs coming to you. So in theory, that gives you an advantage, but it gives you a disadvantage if the players think it's going to give you an advantage.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit, you know, and a lot of our team wasn't here when the Commonwealth Games was on, but I think we put a lot of energy into making sure that there was no excuses around our preparation in 2018 and playing 10 away games in a row. But there was certainly, you know, looking back at that time, there was a feeling of relief and, it'll be okay when we get back home, and it certainly wasn't. And, you know, I think we ran into Geelong the first home game, and it was a poor performance, and I think there was that underlying thought that, oh, well, now we get to play home games, it'll all be okay, and as we know, that doesn't do anything for you.
Do you feel safe enough that you can get a game plan and try and stick to it, even if it means you get scored against heavily with it occasionally? Because we know that it was almost the death of Brendan Bolton in a way that he put so many behind the ball and Carlton couldn't score, and he was trying to do the right thing by not having blowout scores against, but it actually ended up being blowout scores against. I'm worried about what Matthew Nix is going to deliver given what Ross Lyon and Matthew Lord were talking about on Footy Classified about this 90% team defence. Where are you at with trying to make the game entertaining, trying to make the scoreboard look good and give you those goals that are going to encourage your players that your game plan's working, but at the same time, not wanting to get scored against heavily by a team like West Coast?
Yeah, no, I think we've you know, particularly last year, we probably sacrificed some margins to try and play the game the right way and not throw extra numbers behind the ball. And I think if anyone goes back over our last 2 years, many a times, you know, we get a lot of advice about, you know, you got to put more numbers behind the ball to minimise the damage. But we think that over time, if we train the players to play the right way and try and hold that 6-6-6, we think that's our best chance to not only defend, but, you know, importantly, attack. So, you know, I'd love to think that at different times we're 60% attack, 40% defence, and then sometimes that flips based on momentum. So we're obviously trying to get the best of both worlds, but we certainly don't want to lock the game down and score less. You know, I think we acknowledge that not only in the AFL industry, but up here we want to try and play exciting footy, and we certainly think we've got some younger players that in time we think will really thrive in those environments. However, you know, they're under sort of 10 games and 20 games, but once they get to 30, 40 games, I think, like you've seen with the Giants, that stuff will start to flourish.
So how are they going to face it? Because your future is based on your youth. If you can get them to get their development fast-tracked, then you're going to have a huge upside, but you don't want to throw them to the wolves either.
No, and it is a balance. And, you know, sometimes we're going to have the luxury of playing a more experienced team, but our overall philosophy certainly isn't just getting games into players. You know, we want to try and settle our best 22 that we think is for now and for the future, which, you know, with our list position as we are now, I think that, you know, I think we had maybe 8 under 20 against Port Adelaide, but none of those were given games, and they were the most in form of the squad in their positions at the time. So I think that, you know, we've gone down the path of, you know, the draft in the last 2 years, and we'd like to think we haven't given out games and guys have been made to wait until they're ready or perform. You know, Ben King's a good example. When he first came, that would have been easy just to throw him out there and say, well, let's get 22 games into him. But we wanted to make sure he was comfortable and ready and in form, and I think that showed in his performance in the second half of the year.
And young players tend to tire in seasons as well. You get to round 18, 19, and the young players, if you play them every week, get a little cooked. It happens with, you know, the best teams playing their young players. Is the shortened season, we talk about it benefiting the older guys, but is there a chance that it might benefit the younger guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll probably benefit all players from all the feedback of guys from different teams that I've spoken to, and they're enthused by it. But certainly, as you say, the younger players, you know, we're always wary of playing too much. Last thing we want from any player is to get injured, and particularly a younger player starting his career. So, you know, if their average game time's 70 minutes as opposed to 90 or 100, well, that can be a positive on their physical resilience. Do they develop their game as quickly? Well, that's debatable. But I think one thing we do know is when players aren't injured, they develop their game. But if they cop injury early in their career, that hinders their development more than anything.
How's Isaac Rankin travelling?
Yeah, he's going okay, Isaac. You know, and he's one that we're going to have to decide. You know, I think it's well known he's had a couple of hamstring injuries. So, you know, on this short ramp, he's certainly one that we may be reluctant to play early because, you know, it's a big thing to throw him into round two against West Coast in his first game on the back of a very, very limited progression. So he's certainly one that, you know, we want to make sure that he plays the whole year as best he can as opposed to rushing him. We all want to see him play. But in an ideal world, we would have loved to have seen a little bit more of him before, you know, jumping into 80, 100 minutes of AFL footy against a team that's probably going to roll out 15 guys over 150 games. We like you say, we don't want to throw him to the wolves and have that pressure on him, and want to make sure that he's physically sound and in the best possible shape.
And what's the crowd evolution looking like in Queensland? What are the Queensland government looking like allowing you to do in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, well, it's up in the air. It seems to change. I know, you know, they lifted some restrictions very quickly on Sunday night, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard, and particularly, you know, cafe owners, and they didn't get much sleep on the Monday night, ready to try and open at lunchtime on the next day. So We'll just wait and see. You know, again, a lot of things get thrown around. There's a lot of rumour and innuendo, but I've left the politics up to others. And
yep.
Once we get the green light, we'd love to welcome fans here and watch either our games or the other games that be up here.
And you won't have to hub in WA, which is a nice thing because you're playing those teams in Queensland. But there's a likelihood that you might have to hub in SA or Victoria at some stage, yeah? In the second hub,
yeah,
second group of games.
And that's right. Yeah, I think, in, you know, once, as I believe, after round two, we'll get the next 2 weeks. So we're always going to be, you know, a month in advance in our planning, and that's different. But I think, you know, everyone's got their heads around that, and it's we're all, like all leagues around the world, and certainly us, we're just willing to do whatever we can to keep the game going. So we're fine with that, you know. We get to stay home for 3 weeks, and if we have to go away for a little period, I think everyone's up for that too.
Yeah, it's going to be a little weird if your players come down to Victoria, where quite a few of them are from, but they can't see their family.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario, and I think it's sort of become the norm that everyone's keeping to themselves and pretty much staying on home isolation, bar, you know, obviously going to get your shopping and coming to work and train. So I think because everyone's been living in that lifestyle for a little while, and our guys a lot of them were able to go home and get bonus time with their family as well. But it will be interesting if they're staying 10 minutes away but can't say g'day.
Absolutely. We can't come down to watch training. Hopefully we move in a direction fairly quickly in the next few weeks and we get a situation where you don't have to hub at all. You can fly in and fly out. How would the Queensland fly to Melbourne and fly out situation be coped with? Do you think that the 2 hours and 2 hours will be okay for you on the 1 24-hour stretch?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're planning for that now and got our heads around that. So whatever it looks like, I think around five we're in Geelong. So, you know, we'll jump on a plane and obviously get there. It might be a good thing. Players don't get to sit around and think about the game too much and stay in their home environment a little bit longer. But, you know, I think as we've seen in the rugby, you know, plenty of those teams that have done that day trip have come away victors. So certainly no excuses from our end.
Great to have a chat to you, Stuart. I can't wait to see what new Gold Coast Suns we get in round two. It's against a tough opposition, but let's hope we get a really good contest to watch and we can see the horizon being pretty bright for you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate that.